Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Misfits. We have some very exciting news. For just $5 a month, you can join the Band of Misfits and get so much more.
You guys will be getting every episode completely ad-free, extended episodes packed with extra stories and content we couldn't fit into the regular show, and access to an amazing community of other Misfits who are just as obsessed with the unexplained as you are, and exclusive bonus episodes created just for members.
So if you don't like ads, this is where you need to be. This is an ad-free subscription. So join today at MisfitsPodcast.com and become part of the Misfit family.
There's a thing we in snake handling we call tagging. A snake will tag you when it bites you just enough to let you know it's had enough. And I took that snake over, and he turned around and tagged me hard. It just started flowing blood out.
Welcome, Misfits.
Hey there, Misfits. It's Carrie and Tori again. We are back with another weird podcast with all of the crazy stories that we like to talk about.
So, Carrie, you know, there's this old saying in Hollywood, and it was like made famous by W.C. Fields. And he says, never work with kids or animals. And
agreed.
On Mythbusters, we work with both.
Yeah, actually, you know, we've worked with them on a few of our projects. White Rabbit Project. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I had been looking through Instagram, and this post came up about spy cockroaches.
I've seen that. That is the creepiest.
Yes, it's going pretty viral right now.
Oh, God, those things are so gross. And now they're using them to scurry into areas with listening and camera devices.
So, Tori, check out this clip that I was looking at on Instagram.
It's funding tests to see if these giant Madagascar hissing cockroaches can be repurposed from repulsive pests to miniature battlefield assets.
This is a left turn, and this is a right turn.
Oh my God.
Swarm's insect neuroscientists attach electrodes to the roach's antenna. They insist this doesn't hurt, stimulating their natural ability to navigate. The electrodes are hidden in these bug-sized backpacks, along with a battery and microchips. They're working to shrink the technology to soon look like this.
Okay,
Carrie,
okay.
You were so way ahead of your time. You
right,
tested,
okay.
You actually did this on White Rabbit Project. That's crazy.
I know. The funny thing is the way that 60 Minutes is showing this clip, it's like, oh my God, this is breakthrough technology. But quite honestly, I went over to Ann Arbor, Michigan to the university to look at what they were doing with cockroaches. Now, they were taking cockroaches, attaching this Arduino to the board to the back, little electrodes. I was actually doing this myself. We glued the Arduino to the back of the cockroach, and then we had these little electrodes to its antenna. So even with just a smartphone, I could remote control where the cockroach would go. You know, I would swipe right or left and the cockroach would follow the pathway. It's actually kind of simple because, you know, they've got their little antenna that tell them, oh, hey, I'm hitting a wall. So now I'm going to go the other way. So when we would stimulate the antenna, it was telling it how it wanted to go on its path. Like, this is old tech. This is simple tech. This is something that we...
Oh, Carrie, this is old. This is old news for Carrie, you guys. She's, come on. I've already infiltrated with using cockroaches.
I love how they're like, oh, this is all so new and experimental. I'm like, yeah, okay. Getting the technology small enough to put little cameras on them and to, like, get them to go into war zones. Sure. But I've already attached this stuff to
Tori. You broke that news first. Is that what you're trying to say here?
I just feel like they're acting like this is so crazy and new, but like you had this technology attached to you.
It was stimulating your muscles. I didn't like it at all.
I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's a crazy story though. I mean, they're putting little armor onto cockroaches and they're trying to figure out how they can make this swarming army. This is the stuff of sci-fi movies. Well, it gives me the creeps so hard.
We're here now. It's like all that stuff in science fiction movies. I feel like we've arrived. We are now living in a giant science fiction Matrix movie. But you know, that's pretty amazing that like and we were looking at that technology that was over 10 years ago. And now they're using it for weapons. Of course.
Military is weaponizing cockroaches.
Of course.
As if they weren't creepy enough on their own.
You know how you're going to deal with this? Raid. I'll knock out your whole army with one spray. Psh, done.
Hold on. Bye. I've got a defense mechanism right here.
Gone. The whole army's just like, Kurr. Oh, dang. We didn't think about that. Oh.
I think it was really cool. We were talking with an animal trainer on a previous episode. We were talking to Keith, and it really just led us to think about all of the craziness when we work with animals. And beyond the primates, we got to work with an animal trainer that works in the East Bay Vivarium, Owen. He works with scorpions.
We had
and
snakes,
spiders, and
tarantulas.
Snakes.
Yeah. Like, all the creepy, crawly critters that I hate, but I love.
I mean, the animals that you're supposed to be scared of are chimpanzees and bears and cougars. But the ones that people are most scared of seem to be the snakes and the insects. It is really the reverse in real life.
When we were talking with Keith and he was talking about tigers, I was looking back at the Siegfried and Roy. Remember they had a tiger magic act in Las Vegas. And during one of the live performances back in like 2003, Roy got attacked by one of the tigers and like on stage mauled him. And what they found out, you know, Siegfried was trying to say that the tiger was trying to protect Roy because he had a stroke on stage, but the tiger picked up on that. And for whatever reason, like that kind of trainer and the animal picked up that he was now the dominant one. And
ooh,
that's why they think he attacked Roy.
Yeah, that was a really, really famous story. I mean, you've got to have just nerves of steel to be an animal wrangler in any possible way.
Yeah.
That is just crazy. I mean, I look at the cuddly furry animals and somehow I feel less scared of them than I do the creepy crawly ones. Actually, just they're the ones that get me. And maybe it's because on Mythbusters when we did that smell of fear experiment and I got covered in all the scorpions that Owen brought in, like the creepy factor has kind of traumatized me a little bit. But it is being continually reaffirmed by the internet, maybe because my phone is listening to me, but the amount of posts I see about just mass quantities of spiders, just, okay, check this one out. All right, Tori, check out this clip. Do you see what this guy is doing right here? He's pushing on what looks like it looks like the wall is made of sponge, right?
Yeah.
This is a sulfur cave located between Albania and Greece. And that is gigantic spider webs. There are 110,000 spiders. The web is so heavy that it's collapsing at points, only to be reconstructed by the spiders continually. Now, while Most of the world's caves are characterized by food scarcity due to the lack of sunlight. Sulfuric caves like this one are rich in food and biodiversity. And in this particular case, completely covered with spider webs. Like, this is my worst nightmare. You walk into a cave and the walls are just a giant sheet of spider webs. Like, would you be poking on it like this guy? Like, I feel like every movie I've ever seen says, get out. Don't mess with the spider webs.
I would not, definitely not go in there, especially because of all the, like, I mean, I would imagine there's like, it's toxic to breathe that air down there. I don't know. That just, that seems like a terrible idea any which way you look at it. And that dude's just chilling. He's just pushing on the wall like it's no big deal.
I mean, I also did see, fun fact, I did see if the world's population of spiders decided they were all going to get together, that theoretically they could eat every human on Earth in just 1 year. So, like, we're hoping that they never get the hive mind. Hopefully the aliens don't show up here and unite all the spiders together.
Well, apparently the humans eat a lot of spiders a year. Statistically,
yeah, didn't we want to try to test that on MythBusters? I remember seeing that on the board for a long time, but we would have had to film ourselves sleeping because the idea is that they crawl into your mouth while you're sleeping. Like, mm-hmm. We would have had to have filmed ourselves every night, but we did have, you know, 10 years on air. We probably could have, made that one work.
Yeah, totally.
Would you be willing to sleep with a camera next to your bed?
No way. Hell no.
We've had so much fun talking about wild animals because it is just crazy. And everybody loved that episode with Keith Bauer when he was talking about.
How could you not love that
story? The chimpanzee.
You know what? I think everybody loved the animal handler episode so much that we thought we'd bring on another animal handler that we've worked with a lot on MythBusters.
Owen Merricks of the East Bay Vivarium was always our creepy crawly expert. He was the one that would bring in the snakes, the scorpions, and he's got some special knowledge on everything a little bit cold-blooded.
He's got some great stories of what happened on the set while he was filming with us that we're going to find out.
Behind the scenes, let's just say there might have been a little bit of blood and guts.
No guts, but a lot of
blood. Well, okay, there was some blood.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back, MythBits. As promised, we have Owen here to talk about some of the insanity on the MythBusters set, because whenever animals were involved, it just got a little crazy.
yeah, it did. It did. What do you remember best? What was your favorite?
What was my favorite? I don't know if I could call this my favorite, but you were on set for one of these strangest myths that we covered, which is that we were trying to find out if there was a smell to fear. And to test this, we each needed to be locked in a glass coffin with the creepiest thing that would create a fear scent on us.
Yes.
And so we each pulled a little piece of paper out of, out of I don't know, it was a bag or something. Yeah. And Tori pulled snakes, Grant pulled rats, and I pulled scorpions.
Yeah.
And it was such a weird experience. I was freaking terrified. I mean, when they called you and they told you what we were doing, what went through your head?
Well, you know, I'm always thinking about, okay, what will work, what won't work, what animals will get the right response, but actually not be dangerous. And so that's the first thing I was thinking about is how I could scare the crap out of you, but still be actually safe. And so I remember so vividly you in that coffin with the scorpions.
Oh boy.
But you know what you didn't know that was going on that I was like, oh, I don't know how that's going to work out. So here's the deal. I got 100 black emperor scorpions. They're African. I got them for two reasons. First of all, they are notoriously calm. They don't tend to bite. They don't tend to sting. They're pretty nice. In fact, I still use them in my traveling reptile shows all the time. And they're big. They're big scorpions.
Mm-hmm. Now, so where really do you source 100 scorpions? Like, how do you go about?
Well, you know, you got your sources, and I had my source for that. So I got 100 of these scorpions. And I knew that, you know, any other scorpion you used, you would have gotten stung right and left.
Oh, my God.
Those scorpions, no, they're not going to sting you. But the funniest thing that I was noticing going on that you didn't notice because you were lying flat in a coffin and you couldn't see anything.
Uh-huh.
One of and the shaking uncontrollably.
One of the scorpions decided that your fingernail polish looked interesting, and it started nibbling on your fingernail.
Wait, you think that. I didn't notice that?
Oh, you did think notice
I
didn't... it.
Oh, no. I noticed that because before I got into that box, you guys were trying to create extra fear. You told me I couldn't wear shoes, so I had to take them off so my feet were bare. And you started at the feet, laying these scorpions on top of me one by one, but then poured the box of them on my neck. And then I had goggles, thank goodness, put one right across my face. And I believe what you said is, well, as long as you don't move, they're not going to sting you because they're going to think they're just walking on the ground. But then that one little scorpion that started nibbling at my fingernails because they were bright, bright orange and looked like food, I could feel that. And once I could feel, things were happening that didn't feel passive. It didn't feel like just a little like the sound was like this.
Yeah,
as they were crawling all That's over so crazy. Around me, on my face, on my neck. I was trying not to move my mouth, so I was talking like this, trying to keep everything still. Yeah. But then when the nibbling happened, my foot started to shake uncontrollably. I'm like, oh, I'm not holding still anymore.
It was funny watching your face, like rewatching that episode, Owen, the glee in your face as you're dropping these critters on top of us. It was priceless. You were enjoying
I was
the
having
torture.
A good time.
Was I actually safe? Was I
you
safe?
You know, I have been stung by them because in my traveling reptile show that I do for kids, I'm sitting talking and I reach into a box to my side and I pull out one blind. And I reached in one time and one stung me. And it's kind of like fiery. It's kind of what you would expect out of a scorpion sting to feel like.
Owen.
But it wasn't so bad that I couldn't do the rest of my show.
Oh, and you put 100 of them on me and one on my face.
Yes. Well, you were underneath. I was reaching from above.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So
okay,
let me ask you this. If let's say all 100 of those scorpions got upset at Carrie and they all started stinging her,
mm-hmm.
could she potentially go into toxic shock and be in danger?
It's so mild. You know, if 100 bees stung you, would you go into toxic shock? I suppose it's possible.
Mm.
But that's asking a lot of different individual personalities to sting her all at the same time. I don't think it would have been a problem.
But if one did, I have a feeling I might have freaked out.
I think we need to
retest
that myth.
Well, you know, we were trying to get fear out of you, so that would have been fine.
You did.
I know we asked for this, but I do remember when I got out of that box. Do you remember what you said to me?
No.
What did I
say? I've never done this. I've never seen anybody do this before.
There was a lot of that going on.
That's absolutely true. You know, you guys had me doing things that I had to really think through. And, you know, I have a lot of experience working with these animals. So I knew what the odds were. I knew the odds were fine. But of course, you're working with 100 little individuals. Of course, somebody might have a different idea. So there was always that possibility, but I didn't think it was a strong possibility. So I wasn't worried about it.
So Owen, tell us how you came to be on Mythbusters. Do you remember the first call? Who was it that contacted you?
One of the production people called me up, and I hadn't even heard of the show at that point, and described the show to me. And I said, yeah, that sounds like fun. And I can't remember what the first show I did with you was, but whatever it was, it went well. And you guys were so charming and so nice.
Oh,
I just liked working with you so much. And I've worked with a gazillion people in the media over the years. No, you guys were just the best. And so every time I got invited back, it was like, yes, oh boy, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And it was always a joy for me to come work with you guys. I, you know, if I didn't express that enough to you at the time, in all honesty and truthfulness, you guys were very, very special people and just a joy to work with.
Ah, Owen, you gave us some memories. You definitely gave us some good memories.
memories, more like traumatic.
PTSD. Little trauma.
Hey, so... we were testing, I'm trying to remember if it was you, and I think it was. So we were testing cold feet on Grant, and he was terrified of spiders. And so we had built this plastic box to go over his head, and you brought, I don't know how many tarantulas, and you just started dropping them on his head.
So similarly, this is why you guys called me. Most tarantulas hate other tarantulas. And if you put them together, they will start fighting and biting anything that moves around them. There's one kind of tarantula called a pink-toed tarantula. They also happen to be the cutest tarantula.
They are
adorable. But I knew they live in colonies. They have no problem with each other. And as long as they didn't have a problem with each other, they wouldn't care if it was a human head they were on. So I knew that they were totally, totally safe. And not only safe for him, safe for Grant, but safe for each other, which is also my number one consideration is it safe for the animals? People, who cares? The animals I have to worry about.
It's the people you definitely have to worry about, because when we went to the East Bay Vivarium to go check out the spiders to try to figure out who, you know, what we were going to get. And I had one of those little pink toed tarantulas walking my hand. And honestly, like, I'm not scared of spiders. And it felt like little kitten feet, just kind of like delicately, walking around my hand. But then when we started putting them on Grant and there was a lot of them. The creepy factor goes high, and they were pooping on his face and in his hair.
That was the grossest part. Like watching them just crap all over his hair. It looked like he had highlights. Like after we were done, it looked like he had bleached highlights on his hair. It was so gross.
But so during that trip to go pick out the pink-toed tarantulas, like I'm not scared of spiders, but snakes freak me out. Like I've had some bad experiences with snakes when I was young. Snakes, they creep me out. And I had the most dangerous animal that was in that shop at the time was our producer, because she just kept backing me up and backing. She's like, oh, no, go back a little further for the shot. Go back a little further for the shot. And all of a sudden I realized I was basically like standing amongst like pythons. Like she just like kind of pushes me into the cage. Like, what? I'm way more scared of producers than spiders.
I'm not sure what bad experiences you had with snakes, but generally snakes are just the most placid, sweet, nice animals. They're just not hard to work with at all. And there's like a much, like I had to think which scorpion to use, which tarantula to use. Any snake will work. But I have to tell you, the dumbest episode of Mythbusters that I ever worked on. Is there a line of scent that snakes will not cross? And I knew going into No, there's not. That's right. Just a myth. That's dumb. That's not. But, you know, you go through the motions of the whole show. So we did the whole show. But the funniest part of that show was when they were doing the little clips you get to introduce the next section and keep people watching through the commercials. They were doing those bits. They wanted me to have, I can't remember which of you it was, but they wanted to have a python. Was it you?
Yeah.
I was behind you feeding a python, and they did like a dozen takes of the thing. And it was, so at one point that python, when I had taken it back over, and the python was totally safe in my experience, but when I took it back over, there's a thing we in snake handling we call tagging. A snake mm-hmm. will tag you when it bites you just enough to let you know it's had enough. And I took that snake over, and he turned around and tagged me hard. And it just started flowing blood out. And I'm, oh God, snake tagged me. This happens. You know, they don't generally bite, but if you push them hard enough, of course they're going to bite. And that snake tagged me, and I was bleeding, and I took a towel, and I was coming. And finally I looked up, and the entire room, the cameraman, you guys, everybody was looking at me with the greatest looks of horror
yes.
on their face, like something, the most hideous possible thing had just happened. Whereas for me, it's like, another day of the week.
Tori, what was your recollection of that moment? Because as a bystander, I feel like that story had more of a beginning there.
It was, we were exactly what you're saying. We were doing the throws to like coming up on Mythbusters.
Right.
And so this producer, the same producer that backed Carrie into a cage full of pythons, she was like, Owen, can you put the snake around Tori's neck? And then we're going to do these throws to camera. And she kept having us do it over and over. And the snake started hissing. And it was like right here by my face. It was all. And I've dealt with snakes enough that I know when it's hissing. I mean, any animal that's hissing, you probably are pissing it off. And it's like time to give it a break.
So keep in mind, I was down below you feeding the snake up over your shoulder.
Yes.
I never knew about that. I couldn't hear it. I didn't hear the hissing.
So
that would have given me a hint.
Right?
Yeah. Snake wants a break.
I'm looking at the producer and I'm like, can we finish this? This thing is hissing in my face. Like, he is not happy. And then she was like, okay, fine. And you lifted it off. And I remember as soon as it was off my neck, it turned and it tagged you twice. It went bam, and then went bam again. And I was like, dude, that was going to be my face. Oh, my God.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, you still got the moneymaker.
Holy crap. But you were, your arm was gushing blood. Like, I don't know if it's like an anticoagulant in their saliva, but like, it was just like drenched.
It was a lucky bite, you know. It was, like I said, it was no big deal to me.
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing that it happened, but it wasn't like I was worried about the bite at all. And it actually doesn't hurt at all. It's just like a sudden sharp ping, and that's it. It's done.
It doesn't hurt.
And the snake literally was talking to me. That's, you know, he was saying, I've had enough.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I mean, there is this viral video out there of just giant snakes crawling around little babies, talking about how the fear that we have is something that we develop. It's not something that you have.
It's learned.
Well, yeah, it's a learned. Yeah, it's completely learned. I mean, I know why I was scared of snakes. So I lived up in the mountains, and I have a very vague memory of this because I was little. I was like, I had to have been less than first grade. I think I feel like I was like toddler age. I was in a bath, and one of my dad's friends thought it would be funny to throw like a garter snake in my bathtub and hear me scream and ran away. So I have like this trauma that I remember that my dad's passed. He didn't remember who this was or how that happened, but that triggered me for the rest of my life to be really scared of snakes because that incident. But on MythBusters, I tried really hard to face that fear. And I asked you to put that big python on my neck at one point. And I remember feeling my heart racing and it moving. And I'm just trying so hard to be like, I got to unlearn this fear. I got to unlearn this fear because this is going to be fine. Because I knew you wouldn't put it on my neck unless I was going to be safe. And then it bit Tori. Then it tried to bite you.
But you know what? It's funny what you were talking about, knowing that the tarantulas would get along in that confined box on Grant's head. If you had chosen a different tarantula and you didn't know the interactions, like that experiment could have gone horribly wrong. And Grant could have just been stung all over his face.
Yes. Like I say, they're the only tarantula that we commonly work with that is communal. They live together. They don't have a problem with that. All other tarantulas are solo animals. And if you put two together, they are not going to be happy. And it's not like they would purposefully bite his head, but he could be collateral damage.
Yeah. So I knew caught that in the crossfire.
There was only one spider that would work, and that was it.
That's
so
great.
Which one of us was in the most peril? Me with the scorpions, Tori with the snakes, or Grant with all of the rats? Ugh.
Well, Grant, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because all the parasites. All the parasites from the rats.
Well, no, the rats, they're lab rats. They're completely clean. But, the more intelligence you have in an animal, the more less predictable the behavior is.
Mm-hmm.
So, they shouldn't have been a problem, but rats sometimes have fights.
Yeah.
Like we all do. And so there was that small chance. Plus, being, as I've shown you firsthand, being bitten by a snake, even a big snake, is kind of no big deal. Being bitten by a rat is serious.
Did you just hear yourself?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I have to say, at first I was really scared when I got scorpions because that's something very unpredictable in my head. And I didn't know how that was going to go. And I didn't even know it was possible that I would be safe covered in scorpions. But then when I saw Grant get rats, I freaking hate rats. And I felt a strange sense of relief, even though what options here? What are these options?
If you gave the average person a choice of snakes, scorpions, or rats, I bet most, like 99% of people would choose rats.
Right.
When in fact, that's the biggest risk. Not only that they would bite, but that there would be consequences to the bite. A snake bite is nothing. It won't get infected. It's just nothing. A rat bite is going to get infected.
You know what? I don't want to choose any of these. I think we should put up a little poll. What would you rather be locked up with?
Now, when you did the, because you dropped snakes on me, you had a variety of different types of snakes. Now, why are snakes more chill to be around other different species of snakes?
I think it boils down to, and again, the more intelligent the animal, the less predictable the behavior. Mostly snakes just don't give a crap. They don't care. Unless it's the same species and a competing male, two male snakes will duke it out. But they have to be the same species. They have to be in a special circumstance. Mostly snakes just don't care. And I knew that that would be true. So I knew that would be safe. The only problem with a whole bunch of snakes is controlling where they go and how quickly they go there.
Yeah, and they like dark, warm spots.
Like up your pant leg.
That was a lot of work for me, because keeping an eye on a dozen snakes, where they're going, what they're doing, that was hard work for me.
Well, I was able to, I think I felt like I was helping you and letting you know where they were going.
Yes, you were.
And I could do that for you.
I
wanted to help you. This one's going up my leg. I think we should, let's call it. Can we call this?
All right. So just some tips and tricks here. If you're out in the wild, you see a rattlesnake, what do you do? Because I've definitely been hiking. I've heard the rattle and I'm like, okay, I actually have no knowledge of what I'm supposed to do if I hear a rattlesnake nearby.
Walk the other way.
That's it?
That's
it. Is that going to chase me?
Sounds
no.
Okay, how about a cobra?
Pretty logical to me.
A cobra is in my path. It's looking at me and it's going.
So you're in, I presume, Africa or India for that to happen.
Could happen. Mm-hmm.
If a cobra is looking at you and doing that, it's doing that because it's terrified of you, as well it should be. It's not, you know, cobras are snake eaters. They have no interest in us. Rattlers have no interest in us. The reason they rattle their tail is not to say, hey, I'm going to get you. It's to say, please stay away from me. I don't want to be hurt by you.
Yeah.
We are the dangerous animal. We're always the dangerous animal.
I think after that episode of The Smell of Fear, I mean, that was some mastery right there. The fact that you could bring rats and scorpions and snakes in that quantity and handle them all day long. That must have been a pretty intense day.
Gosh, it doesn't seem that way to me, because I'm doing something I love to do. It's fun for me.
We were all traumatized by it. That's why it seems like a big deal.
Traumatizing humans is just the icing on the cake right there.
you're sick.
A little.
We all came out, and nobody got hurt in the filming of that episode, but I do, I still hear the sound, this, and I get the willies, I like all the hairs stand up on end, and that is one of the episodes that people cite to me all the time. They're like, I can't believe you guys did that. I cannot believe that. I mean, I don't think that anybody else could have pulled that off other than you, Owen.
I appreciate that you trusted me. I really do. But in fact, I trusted you too. I mean, it worked because I had a good sense of who you were and what you could handle. And you guys came through with flying colors too. So kudos right back to you. I mean, that wouldn't have worked if somebody just freaked out, get them off me.
Yeah, right.
You guys went with it. So it was mutual trust that made that work.
Has anybody come to you and asked for a quantity of scorpions since then? Or was that the first and final?
Yeah, that was the one time. One time for that particular thing. Yeah.
All right. Who's your favorite team to work with? Us or Jamie and Adam? It's a trick question.
Thanks,
Owen.
It's not even a trick question. Honestly, you guys were way more fun to work with. They were pleasant to work with, but you guys were fun to work with. It was very different. Yeah.
Owen, thank you for coming on the podcast and talking about one of the most epic episodes. Like that Smell of Fear episode is one that I have such a vivid memory of because it was such a wild and weird thing. Thank you for coming on to give us a little behind the scenes.
My pleasure.
That trauma. Yeah.
And you know, when you guys want to reenact the episode, I will be there for you.
All right, let's do it. Carrie, I'm in.
Owen is such a sweetheart. I can't believe he put up with us.
What do you mean? It sounded like he loved working with us. And I loved working with him.
I was a little bit squirmy and squealy that day. I feel like after
that day.
I was so creeped out. And I remember like he's like, thank you for trusting me. But when I got out of that box, I was like, nope.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Whenever he showed up, you knew it was going to be a rough day, and not for him, but for us, because it was just it was always going to be something disgusting or something to try to freak us out.
I know he loves the snakes. I still don't love the snakes. Still do not love those snakes.
I love how nonchalant he was about it. He's like, you know, they just tag you. It was just like let me know he was done. I'm like, bro, I saw that arm. She was bleeding bad. Like that was traumatizing.
Tori, you know, maybe we could have learned from the animals, because I feel like sometimes we were pushed beyond our limits. If you just turned around and bit the producer, they probably would be like, okay, he's done with the scene now.
What makes you say it? Zing. All right. I think it's time to take a fan question. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we have one that's like slightly animal related here. So
slightly.
It's going to go with the theme. Yeah.
All right, this one is from Paul. Mythfits, longtime fan of Mythbusters. I was listening to your latest podcast on injuries. I worked for the company that built the Megalodon mechanical shark that injured Grant. Here is a YouTube clip of some B-roll one of our staff took during that shoot. Oh,
oh my God.
I love it. Poor Grant.
I mean, we were talking about animals, but sharks are that is the craziest.
God.
Oh my gosh, look at this. The giant.
Oh, dude. Oh my. Dude, he landed, like he went down the stairs.
So this is some behind the scene footage of the giant Megalodon shark snapping a foam piece to show its jaw strength and just knocking Grant right off the stage. And Grant jumps up like everything's okay, but
yeah,
he landed right on his wrist. He spent the rest
And the other thing that I'm wondering if you could see the video footage, there was a giant boulder in the sand, like part of like the beach decor.
Oh.
And he missed hitting it on his head, like just feet, a few feet. So he got really lucky.
That was bananas. And it's like, we rarely do stuff in front of a live studio audience.
Look at his chin, his neck, like his chin goes back. Like he got uppercutted. That was gnarly.
That's funny. I've never seen this B-roll before.
Oh
that is
God.
Crazy. Okay. Well, no wonder Grant got hurt. He got thrown.
Holy moly. Well, Paul, thank you for sending that in.
Just proof again that it's not the animals that are the scariest predator. It's the humans, because it was definitely a human that put us up on stage with the Megalodon.
The humans. Yep. The suits.
Humans.
Those are the those are the most dangerous. Well, Carrie, good to see you. This was fun. I'm glad we got to talk to Owen and get some of his insight in some of the myths that we tested on the show. Good to see you.
So on MythFits, we've covered the sweet furry animals like the chimpanzees that'll bite your hands off. We've covered the creepy crawly animals that are supposedly safe, but do nibble on your nail polish if it's the wrong color. I think at some point we're going to have to come back and talk about sharks, because our animal expertise does not end with just those.
Yeah, we got some great stories in, you know, all the episodes we did for Shark Week. I think we should just say we're going to do a Shark Week podcast episode.
Let's face it, Tori, you and I, after spending a decade of friendship doing weird and wild things, have enough podcasts in us to cover behind-the-scenes stories probably for the next 10 years. So everybody, thank you for being part of MythFits, part of our wild band of MythFits, listening to all of our strange stories and talking to all of our amazing and interesting guests that we bring on. We really, really appreciate you.
And don't forget, subscribe, like, follow, continue to send in your video questions. It really just, it helps us grow and it helps us stay connected with you guys.
We're just scratching the surface of weird. Stay weird, MythFits. See you next week.
Stay weird, MythFits.
Pioneer.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Most dog food brands don't really want you seeing how their food is made. Just Food for Dogs is the opposite. They actually invite you in. You can walk into any of their kitchens and see real human-grade ingredients like chicken, beef, carrots, and peas being prepared right in front of you. It's real food made in real kitchens. Nothing is hidden behind labels, and that kind of transparency says a lot. Nothing to hide, everything to love. Go to justfoodfordogs.com and get 50% off your first order.